A blessing. Sometimes as we go through life, it's during the easy times, it's easy to praise the Lord, but then during the hard times, sometimes we think that God has changed or that he's different. But if we can sing it during the good times, we can sing it during the bad. He is good. And thank you, Mitchell, ladies. That was a blessing. Aren't you thankful to see families singing together and serving the Lord together? That's a blessing. All right, I've got a homework assignment for you. That's bad on a Sunday night, right? Okay? I want you to take your Bible and find the book of Habakkuk. Would you do that? The book of Habakkuk. It is in the Bible, all right? The book of Habakkuk. If you have a hard time, go to the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and go backward about four or five books, and you'll find the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1 in God's Word. Our family got to be with my brother, who we support last Sunday at Open Door Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And God's doing an amazing work there. And we rejoice and we praise the Lord for it. They were in a brand new building today. They were able to merge with another independent Baptist church. And they had about 75 people in attendance this morning. And they're rejoicing. And it's about a 300-seat auditorium and a great opportunity for growth. And a full big parking lot. And in Philadelphia, that's really unusual. And so we thank the Lord for that. And we love being there. But as we walked back in this morning, there's nothing quite like Calvary Baptist Church. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing here. And I thank the Lord and give him glory for it. I'm not sure if Pastor's watching or not, but I do am thankful for the opportunity to preach God's word. I count it a real privilege, and I don't take it lightly. And I'm thankful he can have some rest, aren't you? And I think we'll have a better pastor for it. And, you know, God commands us to rest. And so that's a great thing. And so let's be praying for him and Mrs. Broyhill and their family. Pray they have a great time. Oh, have you found Habakkuk? Have you found it? How many of you haven't found it? Okay? If you haven't found it yet, just pretend and open anywhere because it's all good. All right? But follow along. I'll admit to you tonight, this is a bit of a not uncomfortable. This message is a little bit out of my comfort zone. Typically, I like to stay in five or six verses, and we stay there the whole night. But we're going to kind of pick apart some key verses in this book. It's a short book of Habakkuk. You probably could read the book of Habakkuk in about 10 minutes. But it's a powerful book in God's Word, only three chapters long. And a preacher could probably preach about 8 or 10 sermons in this book, but I'm going to try to preach as much as I can in just one. So you got to listen fast and stay, and I won't keep you here all night. All God's people said. Okay, you weren't supposed to say amen there, but it's okay, all right? We don't know much about Habakkuk as a person, but Habakkuk is in the category of the minor prophets, not because of its importance. All of God's word is important, but because of its length. It's a short book in God's word. But I recently did a study through Habakkuk, and God did a convicting work in my heart, and this is what I believe the Lord would have us in God's word tonight. I'm beginning reading in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Habakkuk. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked. And judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Do you see anything familiar from what we read there in those four verses? Habakkuk speaks, but then in verse 5, everything changes because then God speaks. Aren't you thankful for when God speaks? Look at verse 5. God speaks, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe that would be told you." If you like to highlight or underline portions of Scripture, I like to encourage you to underline the phrase that is in verse 5. It will be where we get our title, our topic, and our text tonight. I will work a work. And child of God, I like to proclaim, based on the authority of Scripture, that God is always at work. God is always at work. Now, would you pray with me, please? Lord, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that it is a relevant book for 2022. Thank you that we can look to it for answers during our questions. And Lord, I'm asking you that you would please work in my heart tonight, change me and challenge me, but Lord, help us to leave here not the same, but help us to leave here different. And Lord, thank you for the Bible. Help us to be challenged tonight through it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a bit of a shame for me to admit. This takes a lot of humbling, okay? But if you were to come up to me and say, Tom, who is the handyman in your home? If there's something broken or something needs to be fixed, who's the handyman? I'd say, well, it's my wife, Tiffany. She can fix everything, okay? If something's broken, she can fix it. And what a lot of people don't know is that she worked with Mike McKinney for quite a while. And so, Mike, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Anyway, so last year, my wife, whom I love, said, I think it would be a good idea for us to replace all the interior doors inside of our home. We have about 9 of them. And so, man, I said, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. Let me get Jimmy Plunkett on the phone, and I'll give him a call, and he can come over and in just a few hours get it done. And she said, well, that's not really what I was thinking. She said, I think me and you can take care of it. Me and you can do it. And so being the encouraging, supporting husband that I am, I said, that sounds great. Y'all are laughing like that. I didn't think I was telling the truth, okay? So ignorant me thought, well, we'll just measure these interior doors and we'll go to Home Depot, get some new ones, maybe get a couple new hinges and put these new things on there. We'll be done in a couple hours. That's the end of the story. And boy, was I wrong. Absolutely, that did not happen. Boy, was I wrong. And I remember when we started working on that first door. There's a lot of stories I could tell with this, just this one thing, but I learned about quite a few brand new things that week. I figured out what a door hinge template was. I found out what a router was, and I found out what a planer was, all in 1 or 2 weeks, all those things. I also learned that a planer is best used outside and not inside. I think we're still finding sawdust almost a year later in our house. I remember it was finally time to put up that first door. We had used the template and carved out where the hinge was supposed to go. We screwed it into to the side there. And we went to close the door. We were real proud of ourselves. You should have seen us. We were real proud of ourselves. We went to close the door, and boom! It didn't close, all right? And quite frankly, it wasn't even close. And I remember Tiffany saying, it'll all work out. We'll get it. And all these different pieces, all these different tools will eventually come together with a finished product of a door that can actually shut. And so I thought, well, let me at least trust the one that knows what she's doing. I have no idea what I'm doing, and so I'll trust her. And I kid you not, we worked on those doors, all 9 of them, for hours and hours, for not just a few days, but for 2 weeks. We worked on those doors. And finally, the finished product, trimmed, sand, painted, new doorknobs, and then they completely shut. And we were really proud of ourselves. I didn't know whether to cry or whether to smile, but we were happy. Now, please, do not come up to us and say, would you come replace the inside interior doors of our home? It was good marriage help, but we'll never do that again, all right? You know, when we started working on those doors, I had an idea of how I thought those doors should be put up. I had my way, but I really could only see it from my perspective. I'm thankful that Tiffany knew what to do, and a little help from YouTube as well. I had to fully trust that all the parts, all the pieces, the tools that we would use would eventually all come together to give our home a finished product of new interior doors, and it was great. Have you ever stopped recently and looked at all the evil, all the wickedness going on in our culture, and thought, Lord, how are you working all of this together for good? Lord, what in the world are you doing? How are you molding all the pieces out? How are you working all this out for your eternal plan? Why are you allowing this evil and all of this wickedness? And you don't have to watch the news very long or even watch the news at all to realize that we are in a shambles in our country. We are in disarray. My dad commented to me last week. He said, "Tom, have you ever seen our country in such a mess?" Well, welcome to the life of Habakkuk. Many of Habakkuk's questions to God are the same questions that you and I are asking today. Aren't you thankful that the Bible is timeless? Amen. That in 2022, it can help us right now. A book written hundreds and hundreds of years ago can help us in 2022. We can learn from the prophet Habakkuk, and we can learn what God wants us to know right now. Habakkuk was a prophet of God. He was someone who was passionate to see God work, but God wasn't working the way Habakkuk wanted God to work. It's almost as if God wasn't even hearing him. Do you ever talk to somebody and they're looking at you, but they're not hearing you? Wives to husbands or other way around, okay? They're looking at you, but they're not hearing you. And that's what Habakkuk felt. The pieces weren't really fitting together. Look at chapter 1 with me in verse 2 one more time. O Lord, how long? And many of us, including this preacher, are asking this very question in 2022. O Lord, how long? Lord, what are you doing? I like what Corrie Ten Boom said. I encourage you to write it down. She said this: "There is no panic in heaven. God has no problems. He only has plans." There is no panic in heaven. God has no problems. He only has plans. You see, God, he is always at work. I will work a work. Habakkuk was living among the heathen, but God said, "Habakkuk, I'm going to work. I'm not going to do it based on your time. I'm going to do it based on my time, God's time." With all the chaos in our society, do you think that God is in heaven right now trying to come up with a plan B? Do you think all of this caught God off guard, what's going on? And when the story ends, we know that Jesus wins. And so for a few moments tonight from the book of Habakkuk, we are going to see that God is always at work. He's always at work. He's working in your personal circumstances. He's working for his plan, for his glory. God is always at work. If you're taking notes tonight, I'd like to encourage you to write down number one, and we're going to see the cry of Habakkuk. Number one, the cry of Habakkuk. Let's read again in verse 1. Can we start there together? Verse 1, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." Habakkuk has been given a vision from the Lord, a burden from the Lord. And Habakkuk is crying out to God. He's having a real conversation with God. The first cry in verse 2, look at the first cry. "O Lord, how long shall I," what's the word, church? Cry. The first cry is a desperate request for aid or relief from a bad situation. The second cry, just a few words later, is more of a shouting at God. It's often a call for help. It can be a cry of distress. Moms and dads, have you ever had a kid that's cried out to you, "Mom and Dad, I need your help"? And you hear that cry and you run to them. But Habakkuk is saying, "Lord, I sure could use your help right now." That was Habakkuk's cry, the cry of Habakkuk. Calvary Baptist Church, can we be transparent tonight? Have you ever questioned God? Have you? Have you ever shouted out at God? Maybe not out of anger, but you've shouted to God, "God, what are you doing? I can't see what you're trying to do right now. Lord, how long? Why this situation? God, why me? What are you doing?" In verses 2 through 4, we just read these, but Habakkuk describes all the evil that he sees. He sees violence, iniquity, grievance, spoiling, strife, contention. The law is slacked, wickedness, wrong judgment. He cries out and he shouts to God and says, God, what are you doing? Why are you not judging all of this wickedness? Have you ever asked that question? God, why are you not judging all this wickedness? There is so much lawlessness that it cannot even be controlled. There's so much lawlessness. Look with me at verse 6 and 7. Look here with me. Verse 6. For lo, I rise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Verse 7. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. What God's saying here is, Habakkuk, you're right, Habakkuk. Israel has become wicked. So I'm going to use the Chaldeans, or we could say Babylon, the Chaldeans, to take God's people captive. And the Babylonians were even more terrible, dreadful, and they were violent. So how could God use the godless Babylonians to execute his judgment? How could God use the wicked to accomplish his plan? It's because of verse 5. It's because God says, I will work a work. It's not up to you, Habakkuk. It's up to me. God is always at work. I want to ask this a question. Can God use evil men to accomplish his work? Do you believe that? Can God use evil men to accomplish his work? Well, sure. Why? I would ask the question, why? Well, it's because God is God. God is sovereign. Do you remember the Joseph in the book of Genesis? Pastor preached on this last year. Joseph's own wicked brothers sold him into slavery. But what did Joseph say to them at the end of the story in Genesis 50:20? What did Joseph say to his brothers? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for what, church? God meant it for good. God can use wickedness to execute his plan. God is always at work. Hey, Habakkuk, I will work a work, not you. God will work. What Habakkuk didn't understand is that God's silence is not an evidence of his absence. God's silence is not an evidence of his absence. Sometimes we see nothing but evil and expect God to intervene. We cry like Habakkuk, God, why don't you do something? All the wickedness, all the evil, God, why don't you do something? Maybe you've spent years praying for a specific prayer request and it seems like it's going nowhere. You see, child of God, you have never faced a trial that God hasn't already seen, heard, and known about. You see, God is always at work because he says, I will work a work. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Christian, God's ways are not your ways, and they're not my ways. Are you crying tonight? Lord, how long? How long, Lord? Habakkuk was crying. He was shouting at God. But God reminded him, Habakkuk, I will work a work. God is always at work. And number one tonight, we've seen the cry of Habakkuk. Number two, I'd like you to see the faith of Habakkuk. The faith of Habakkuk. Are you ready to go? Let's go to chapter 2. We just got done chapter 1. Let's go over now to chapter 2. All right? Chapter 2, I'd like you to put your eyes on verse number 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Do you recognize that phrase? Do you recognize it? It's the first mention of three other times in the New Testament. We find it in Hebrews, we find it in Galatians, we find it in Romans. The just shall live by faith. So what is God saying to Habakkuk? God is saying that the righteous, the upright, the just, they live by faith. They see everything through the lens of Scripture. The just realize that God is doing exactly what he wants to do. The just say, I will live by faith. God is at work. He is in control. The people that are upright, the people that are just, those that are righteous, they see everything going on. And they see God is working. The just shall live by faith. I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones once said. He said, faith is a refusal to panic. Faith is a refusal to panic. Now, there are too many Christians who are living by fear and are not living by faith. Fearful Christians live in the what-ifs. They live in panic. They live in the unknown instead of standing on the promises of God. Listen, Christians, there is no need to doubt God now. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me. There is no need to doubt him now. And Habakkuk was reminded through the Lord, the just shall live by faith. God, I don't know what you are doing, but I will live by faith. God is always at work. I will work a work. The other day, our youngest daughter, Karis, we were sitting on the couch and we were watching some show or something. And I said, Karis, who is your favorite daddy? Do you ever do that as a mom and dad? I said, Karis, who's your favorite daddy? And without even a moment of hesitation, she said, Daddy, you're the best daddy. She said, Daddy, you're the best daddy. A few seconds passed by. She said, actually, I've got two daddies. I've got God and I've got you. And she said, Daddy, God's always number one, all right? She said, Daddy, God is always number one. And maybe tonight you didn't have the best earthly father. But you can rest easy tonight knowing that everything's all right in your heavenly Father's house. Amen. My heavenly Father is watching over me, and he's watching over you too. The just shall live by what, church? Faith. God is always at work. I will work a work. Number one, we saw the cry of Habakkuk. Number two, we saw the faith of Habakkuk. And now let's go to chapter 3 for number 3, point 3. Let's see the prayer of Habakkuk. The prayer for Habakkuk. Are you still with us? Are you still here? All right, let's look at chapter 3. All right, chapter 3. Based on how big the letters on your Bible, you might even have to turn a page. This book is so small. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet unto Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, what's the next word? Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember. What's the word? Mercy. God, in your wrath, remember mercy. By Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk is done arguing with God. Habakkuk is a different man. He's not trying to figure God out. He's not trying to change the results. Habakkuk is now living by faith. After all the crying out, all the questioning, all the weeping, all the shouting at God, we come to the closing chapter in Habakkuk, chapter 3. And now what is Habakkuk praying for? He's praying for revival. As a boy, Habakkuk's king was Josiah. Habakkuk had seen and had experienced revival, arguably the greatest revival in the history of the world under King Josiah. But now, Habakkuk is seeing wickedness, he's seeing evil, he's seeing vileness, and yet, what is he praying for? What is Habakkuk praying for? He's praying for revival. He's praying for mercy. Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. Our idea of prayer is not the same as Habakkuk's. We have a laundry list of prayers, don't we? Lord, fix this and fix that and help this financial need and help this friend over here and help this ingrown toenail or whatever it might be. Help this situation, help this situation. Our list is endless. But Habakkuk had two petitions, is what he had. He's asking God for revival in the midst of his life, and he's asking God to show mercy on a nation that is reaping what it had sown. So what are we seeing right now in present-day America in 2022? What are we seeing right now? Since Roe v. Wade, and we realize that abortion was present far before this, but since Roe v. Wade, America has slaughtered more than 62 million babies. And God loves the unborn. Amen. And so, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. In 1980, the Supreme Court ruled that a Kentucky law that required the posting of the Ten Commandments on the wall of every public school classroom in the state, that violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment because the purpose of the display was essentially religious. However, on that display was this commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." On May the 24th of this year, just a few days ago, an 18-year-old shot 19 children and two adults in an elementary school in Texas. Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. On June 26th of 2015, same-sex marriage in the United States of America was made legal in all 50 states. Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. And in 2018, the children's TV station Nickelodeon celebrated Pride Month and used a drag queen in a sing-along on the show Blues Clues. In your wrath, remember mercy. And child of God, I contend to you, based on the authority of God's word, that Habakkuk's prayer, it must be our prayer. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In your wrath, Lord, remember mercy. I like what evangelist Paul Schwenke said in a book that I read on Habakkuk. He said this, "What if we have revival all wrong? What if we are convinced that revival means that God is going to fix our land? All the wrong. The bars are going to close. Hollywood is going to reform itself. The politicians are going to pass good laws. And the whole country is going to have a spiritual awakening. What if we have it all wrong?" In Calvary Baptist Church, Habakkuk is not asking God to stop his wrath. He's asking God to have mercy on the righteous in the midst of his wrath. Oh God, please remember us. In your wrath, remember mercy. You see, Christian, judgment is coming. God's wrath is coming. God will judge. But Habakkuk pleads with God to give life again to people on a spiritual life support, and he wants to see it again in his day. And can I ask you, Christian? I had to ask me, do I want to see revival in my day? Do I desire that for my day? You see, God is always at work. Are we content with what God did in the past? Are we content living back there? Or do we want something that God wants us to do right now? Can I ask you, do you want revival for you? How about your family? Many of us, including me, we become vocal and we become upset that prayer is not required or has been taken out of the public school system. But can I ask, do we even pray in our own homes? How dare we be upset that they've taken prayer out of the schools if we won't even pray in our own homes? How dare we? We become hypocrites as Christians. Most of us will pray for revival for someone else. Lord, give revival to that person. Lord, that person over there, they could really use some revival, Lord. But what about me? What about us? If we're praying for revival in Washington, we're praying for the wrong thing. Right now, at this very moment, senators, congressmen, and governors are frantically trying to come up with the new laws to fix all the shootings. They're trying to come up with new laws to fix all the murders. But what they don't realize is that you cannot legislate what the gospel of Jesus Christ can only fix. Amen. You can't make a law for something that only Jesus Christ can fix and only Jesus Christ can solve. Jesus Christ is still the answer in 2022. Jesus can give what the law cannot provide. The cross of Christ was the answer to all the evil in this world. Jesus provided the answer through the cross of Jesus Christ. All the wickedness, all the evil, Jesus gave us the answer. It's not in a person of Washington. God help us. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. And he's still the answer today. In the month of May, our young at hearts got to go to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. How many of you have been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky? If you've never been, you've got to go. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. This is our family's second time to go. And it was just awesome. Now, y'all are a smart group of people. But what in the Bible is the Ark a picture of? It's a picture of Christ. On the inside of this Ark, There is a big door. I got a picture with me and Silas at the door. You can see illuminated the cross of Christ in the background there. You see, the door in the Bible was the only point of access onto the ark. You couldn't get inside the ark any other way. You go through the door, you're safe from the storm, and you're safe from the judgment. And Jesus said, I am the only way. No other way but me. If you went through the door, you were spared from the judgment. You were spared from the judgment. I like what Adrian Rogers once said. He said, when Noah and his family stepped onto the ark, they were in the minority. But when Noah and his family stepped off the ark, they were in the majority. And with Jesus Christ, you will always be in the majority. In Noah's day, God judged the wickedness of the people, and someday again, there will be another judgment. And make sure you are in the ark. Make sure you are in the place of safety. Now, what are you praying for? Is your prayer like Habakkuk's prayer? Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. Lord, revive your work. God says, I will work a work, because God is always at work. I've preached the last few minutes to get to this last point. As I was studying through Habakkuk, I got to these last two verses in Habakkuk, and the Lord deeply convicted me, and the Lord deeply challenged me. I'd like you to go with me to the final two verses of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 18 and 19. Would you go there with me? This is what the Lord challenged, and this is what the Lord convicted me on. Number 4 tonight, I'd like us to see the praise of Habakkuk. The praise of Habakkuk. Verse 18. What's the first word of verse 18, church? Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon the mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So for 99% of this book, Habakkuk has spent all his time questioning God, crying out to God, shouting at God, complaining to God, and praying to God. But then we come to the final two verses of this challenging book in God's Word. And he starts off with the word yet. I don't know hardly anything about English, but I do know what the word yet is. What is the word yet? It's a conjunction. A conjunction is a word used to connect clauses or sentences. It is an action or an instance of two or more events or things occurring at the same point in time. Did I get it right, Ms. Schaefer? Okay. A plus. Amen. So God, through inspiration of the Bible, he connects the entire book of Habakkuk, all that we've seen up until this point, and leaves us for right now. He leaves us with this application and with this conclusion. What does Habakkuk teach us about living in wicked days? And by the way, how many of you believe we are living in wicked days? So what does God expect of me, and what's he expect of you? Tomorrow, Monday morning. Here it is. We must choose to praise and rejoice in the Lord. Tomorrow morning is Monday. How many of you are already dreading Monday? Tomorrow morning is Monday, and many of us will return to a wicked culture and a godless society. And at that moment tomorrow, we've got two choices to make. Two. We can say, Lord, Lord, how long? Or we can be like Habakkuk in the last two verses. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. We can shout at God, we can question God, or we can say, the Lord is my strength. And can I ask you tonight, who or what has your joy? Who has your joy? When something you hold dear gets taken away, do you still have your joy? Adrian Rogers once said, we may never know that God is enough until we realize that he is all we have. We may never know that God is enough until we realize that he is all we have. And I see many Christians who are just sitting on their hands, griping and complaining and waiting. Oh, I can't wait for the conservative resurgence in 2022. I can't wait for November. The red wave, or I can't wait for a new president in 2024. But what if it never comes? Are we going to wait every election cycle after election cycle after election cycle to find out if we will be joyful again? What is our strength in? Is it in this or that, or is it in Christ? Us as Christians should know and act that our joy is dependent, and not in things, but our joy is dependent in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. Should our joy be affected in anything outside of Christ? It shouldn't. May God forgive us for having attitudes of looking at all these other things and all these other people instead of looking at our true joy, and that's found in Christ. Now, we have a choice to make in our wicked culture. We can hold on and just try to make it, or we can rest in Christ. Christian, Jesus can be your true joy giver tonight. He can be your joy giver. We can get on Facebook and we can complain and we can gripe and we can all this kind of stuff, or we can rejoice in the Lord. We can watch the news and be filled with anger, or we can trust in our God who is our strength. And so many Christians, including this preacher, we've allowed politics, we've allowed the social media, we've allowed evil people to rob us of our joy. We've allowed high gas prices to rob us of our joy. We filled up our gas tank in Pennsylvania. Can I just tell you, I'm just being transparent, it was not fun seeing $73 on the end there. It was not fun. And I don't have a big car. Some of you guys have these massive trucks, and I can't imagine your pain, okay? But I can't tell you that was like, oh man, woo, this is wonderful, all right? But we shouldn't let those things rob us of the joy that's in Christ Jesus. We've allowed inflation to rob us of our joy. We've allowed politicians to rob us of our joy. But what about God? What about the Lord? Have we forgotten that our God is bigger than the economy? Have we forgotten that God is bigger than whatever you're going through right now? When the breaking news is breaking our hearts, we can rest confident that our God is still on the throne. Nothing ever can, and nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. Our God is victorious, and He always wins. Has God changed, or have we forgotten who God is? Are we like the Habakkuk of chapter 1? Lord, how long? Or are we like the Habakkuk of chapter 3? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The choice is ours, and we must choose joy. In verse 19, Habakkuk uses this unusual phrase. Look at it with me in verse 19. The Lord is my strength, and He will make my feet like, what's the word, church? Like hinds feet. That's not Heinz 57, okay? Like hinds feet. And He will make me to walk upon mine high upon mine high places. The picture given to us is a sure-footed deer who has the ability to walk easily without even looking down. This is the same confidence that we as believers can have in Christ. All the stuff can be going on around us, and we can have hinds feet like a deer, keeping our head up and looking forward to Jesus Christ. We can keep our head up tonight. All the wickedness in our culture does not cause the Christian to change course or stumble, because we stand upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. In the last two verses of Habakkuk, he says, I'm going to make my choice. I'm going to put my joy in Christ. Christian, God is always at work. What does Psalm 46:10 say? Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Can God be exalted among the heathen? Absolutely. So be still tonight and rest in the Lord. He's your joy giver. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. That means tomorrow He'll be your joy. He's the same. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Tomorrow morning, when you're tempted to post a complaint, choose to rejoice. Tomorrow morning when you turn on the news and you're tempted to throw your remote across the living room, choose to rejoice. Tomorrow morning when your coworker is harsh to you, choose to rejoice. Because God is always at work, and I will work a work. I told you last Sunday, our family got to go to Open Door Baptist Church in Philadelphia. My brother Joe, he's a pastor, and we support this work. And so if you give to missions, you have a part in what I'm getting ready to tell you about right now. And Joe and his wife Katie, they have three children. They're doing a great job. And it's just an exciting church. About 80%+ of the people are first-generation Christians. First person in their family lines ever trusted Christ as Savior. And they haven't gotten over yet. And I praise the Lord. I hope they never will. But after the service last Sunday, we got to go over to their home. Tiffany and our kids, we got to, we had some cheesesteaks and hoagies. Woo! Praise the Lord. That was great. And we had a great time. But this was their second home. And we were saying, how do you like it here? And all this kind of stuff. And they're getting ready to move into a church parsonage. But they started telling us about their first home in Philadelphia. This is a row home. And they were excited. First home, just moved to Philadelphia. Church planters, they were excited. And after a few weeks, they realized they had a problem. That house was infested with cockroaches. I'm talking Philadelphia cockroaches. This is based on what they're telling me. My brother said they woke up in the middle of the night with cockroaches coming across their face. And they told me they could only when they were done eating, they could only put their food on their counter for a minute before the cockroaches would come for it. So what do you do? Well, they Googled exterminators, pest control. And they read a review, and they called. There was a girl that answered. Her name was Maggie. And Maggie came and worked on the cockroaches, and Katie, my brother's wife, was there and started talking to her and said, I said, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor's wife, and my husband pastors Open Door Baptist Church. And she gave her a gospel tract, and you know how that goes. Probably never see her again. Saturday night, before Sunday, Maggie calls Katie, the exterminator calls my brother's wife and says, I lost that tract. Can you tell me the address for Open Door Baptist Church? I want to come tomorrow. Says, well, yeah, that's great. So Sunday morning, there comes Maggie at Open Door Baptist Church. My brother preaches the gospel, and his wife Katie is over here playing the piano for the invitation. All of a sudden, Maggie steps out of the middle aisle and comes walking forward and was dealt with a counselor. And at the end of the service, my brother Joe comes up to her, Maggie, what happened? She said, I just trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Here's a picture of her being baptized a few weeks later. And my sister-in-law told us this story in tears last week. And she said, when Maggie came down, I was over there playing piano. She said, Lord, thank you for the cockroaches. I'm serious. She said, Lord, thank you for the cockroaches. Because child of God, you may not see what God's doing, but God is always at work. God can work through all the mess. And I'm telling you right now, God is always at work. He can see through even the cockroaches what God is doing. And you may come in here tonight with a weary heart and a burdened heart. You may be disgruntled with all the wickedness and all the craziness going on in our world. You may have a burden that only you know that you're carrying tonight. You and God know what you're carrying. But God says, I will work a work, and God is always at work. What he wants us to do is get our hands off of it and say, God, you're working. I can't see it, but you're always working. And you're working it out for my good and for your glory. And may we determine from here on out that we are going to get our eyes off of all the wickedness around us and all the evil, and we're going to choose to rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, God, for the cockroaches. Lord, I don't understand, but you will work a work. Rejoice in the Lord. You've got Habakkuk chapter 1. Lord, how long? Crying, complaining, shouting. We've got Habakkuk chapter 3. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God is working, Christian, and you can rest in Him. There is no panic in heaven. God has no problems. He only has plans. I will work a work. God is always at work. He's always at work. Would you pray with me around the auditorium tonight? Would you pray with me?